This is Internet Marketing. Hello everyone, and welcome to episode 170. Yes, 170 of Internet Marketing, brought to you by Site Visibility at sitevisibility.com. And today it's questions and answers, isn't it, Professor Kelvin Newman?
Yeah, we love a good Q&A session. So we've got four questions coming up. If you've ever got any questions you'd like me and Andy to answer, do just send them in. So you can send them in to Kelvin, so that's kelvin.newman at sitevisibility.com, which is in the show notes, and Andy reads it out at the end in his lovely voice that he records every single time live and doesn't just cut and paste in at the end.
Yes, that's right.
So you're calling yourself Kevin as well, right? It's not just me then.
Yeah. No, it's Kelvin. There's an L in there,
Kelvin!
Andy.
It's Kelvin!
We know each other how many years, Andy? No.
At least 17. Anyway, when you were 5. Okay, right. So we've got a bit high tech, haven't we? And I'm not using pieces of paper.
Yeah, you see now that normally Andy goes at this point, if I rustle some paper, but we've got it on a screen this time.
Is it one of those ones where it doesn't?
Does it then sound weird that we don't have the paper? You know, like where you get these ones like electric cars.
We don't need sound effects, Kelvin.
Yeah, but you have like electric cars where they put an engine noise in it so people can hear them. So shall I, as you read it, find a bit of paper and go like this on it?
First question is, as I get this fake piece of paper that Kelvin is making a sound effect for, but really reading it off his screen, is from Daniel Shaw.
Yes.
And Daniel says, good afternoon, guys. Please can somebody explain to me how to have subcategories appear under your site address when you appear on Google? Thank you.
So, yeah, I think what Daniel's getting at there is, and I'm sure we all will have seen this, where you search for a query or a brand name or anything on Google, you get the main result, but below that you get a series of links below it, the kind of indented, and there's a couple of different combinations.
What are those links?
They're kind of known as site links, right? It's the kind of the lingo that is used to describe them within the search community. Now, essentially, they are determined, they appear when a search result has a higher than, they sort of appear either when one page has more than one result in the top 10 is one way of doing it, if you see what I mean. So if I search for site visibility and the site links appear there, that's because some of those pages are considered worthy to be on the top 10 in their own right. So it's kind of Google clustering together some of the results there. But it's also just when a web page has a higher than average click-through rate for that search query. So that's why it always appears on brands, right? So if I search for John Lewis, I'm probably always going to click on johnlewis.com. I might occasionally click on another site, but 9 times out of 10 that I'm going to click on that site. So that's why they get site links there. So if you can get these site links to appear on a commercial query, so like say it's, I don't know, LCD TVs and John Lewis are there with site links, that means that for some reason Google think that you are either those pages deserve to be in position 1 and 5, so therefore it bundles them together, or they think that like the links as a whole are very well justified, so therefore they will put more links in there. So they're known as site links. Now, you can't necessarily control what site links appear by choosing them. What you can do is, if you've got Google Webmaster Tools set up, you can exclude certain ones. So you sometimes get ones like privacy policy showing up, which is kind of not really that useful. So you could go into Webmaster Tools, select the site links option, and remove that one from appearing as a site link. So you don't want your privacy policy to appear. Or perhaps you've got like a complaints page, complaints procedure page, and that appears that you want there. Or maybe it's just like it's an individual product and you just want category pages to appear. You can go in and opt out certain pages. You can't opt in what you want to appear, but you can influence that. You can influence that by internal linking. So what you will find is the links that are most prominent within the page. So it's normally which pages are most prominently linked to from your homepage appear within those site links. So what that might mean is, if there is a page that you would like to be appearing in those site links that aren't, make sure it's in your navigation, make sure it's linked to a couple of times from your homepage, and that should help it appear there. So you can't necessarily trigger, you can trigger them just by increasing the likelihood of people clicking on your site, which is kind of a bit complex, but you can do that. You can opt out pages that you don't want to appear, and you can influence which pages do appear by improving the internal linking to the pages that you want to rank.
Okay, so no direct control, but you can influence.
Influence, definitely.
Okay, let's move on to the next question. As he cranes his neck round while trying to keep his mouth next to the microphone, and read with his bifocal glasses. But never mind. This is from Clint Till. Kelvin is asking you specifically, Kelvin. Kelvin.
Hello, Clint.
At the first of the year, I started a new position as director of marketing for a lighting manufacturing rep company. We work with architects and electrical engineers on behalf of various lighting manufacturers to sell light fixtures. You can tell I'm struggling to read this, can't you?
Should I twist the screen?
Let me move my microphone slightly.
Is that a bit better?
This isn't working so well, Kelvin.
Paper effect. Sorry.
Manufacturers to sell light fixtures, dimming systems and automated theatrical rigging systems. We also provide 3D visualizations and lighting design services. One of my ongoing responsibilities in my role will be to maintain the website www.cotney.com. Currently, I'm evaluating the current website and have been generating a list of keywords based on our industry and our competitors. I've utilised keyword tools in Google AdWords to help come up with this list. As you know, you can enter a URL and Google will crawl that particular site and generate a list of suggested keywords based on the content it finds on that site. However, when I enter www.cotney.com or cotney.com, that's without the www, those are my words, Google returns with zero results. It's almost as if Google doesn't recognise the site as having any content, brackets, which, if true, will not bode well in my SEO efforts, brackets. Have you seen this problem before? If so, do you have any suggestions on how to correct it? Thanks. I enjoy listening to your podcast. Clint Till.
Yeah, I've not really come across this as a huge problem before. What it would suggest is, so the way that it works is, so if you're not familiar with the Google AdWords keyword tool, which is one of the best free keyword tools out there, thoroughly recommend it for anyone doing any keyword research. You can either put in a list of keywords and it will generate ones connected to that, or you can put in your website or a competitor's website and it will tell you what keywords it thinks are relevant to that. Now, that's quite a useful process just to put your website in there anyway to see what Google think as the relevant keywords to your website. Now, my understanding of how that worked was always that it was based on the content and the title tags and meta descriptions of the page and pages linked to from that site. It appearing zero results would seem to suggest that for whatever reason it's not spidering that content. So the question I'd be asking, Clint, is your website appearing in the index? Is it based on Flash? Is it based on, you know, is your content kind of in images? That type of issue that you've got there. If it isn't, that's very peculiar and I'm not entirely sure why it'd be doing that. So kind of, I'm a little bit stumped, but what it would seem to suggest to me is that for some reason, the website is potentially, Google is potentially finding difficulty in understanding what the content of that page is about. So things I would suggest to diagnose that is, put your website through a spider simulator to see what the search engines can crawl from that page.
A spider simulator?
Yeah, there's a number of them out there. And essentially all you do is you drop in the URL of your website and it shows you what the search engine crawler would see when they
view
your site. And essentially all it does is strip out the text, right, is what it does, and shows you the body content there. If that's showing up nothing, then it's a bigger issue than kind of the keyword research. It's about your site being indexed. If that is showing up, but it's still just not that tool, I would suggest maybe trying some internal pages, trying to look at your competitor to see that. But, you know, Google's tools do sometimes do weird and unusual things. But if you're passing that spider test, I think you're probably okay from an SEO perspective. But it is a peculiar one and definitely one I'll be looking into a little bit more in the future.
Bit of a mystery. Tell us how you get on with that one, Clint. And the next one is from Troy Trewin. We know Troy, don't we?
Yeah, regular questioner.
He's an old fan of the show. No, Troy's not old. I mean, his fanship is well established.
Yes, he's a long-term listener.
A long-term listener. Hi, Kelvin. Brackets and Andy. Exclamation mark. Close brackets. On my run this morning, this is part of his email, on my run this morning, I listened to Cast 155, where you covered...
A classic episode, as I
classic. Yes, it was a classic one, where you covered LinkedIn. You mentioned you can link from your LinkedIn profile, brackets, and company profile, brackets, to your blog or site. Is there much link love in doing this? A few years ago, we had all of our team at Lucidica. Brackets, the IT department for small businesses in London, brackets, update their LinkedIn profile and ensure that they listed the company website. Is this a worthwhile tip for other small businesses out there slaving away on their SEO? Good question.
Yeah, I mean, I think principally, as I recall, those links are now followed. So that instantly puts a cap on their value, because most of the links on social media sites are now followed, which, if you've not come across that idea before, it's a status you can apply to a link which says, Google, we are unsure of the quality of this website. Don't consider this an editorial vote for it. And that's kind of fairly standard on most social media sites. So you'll find that most social media sites, if you add, particularly if user-generated content is a possibility, they typically by default include no-follow status. That doesn't mean that that link doesn't have some value, but it does sort of cap the value of it. What I will say, though, is it's a two-second job that's a link to your website that makes sense. So if someone's on one of your employees' LinkedIn profiles, there's a good chance they might click through and come to your website. So I would say definitely recommend anyone puts their company profile, a link to their website on their LinkedIn profile, but not for SEO reasons. Do it for the traffic, do it for the kind of potential follow through that can come from people looking on LinkedIn profiles and coming through to your website. That's the reason I would be doing it, rather than for SEO value. There's a small chance it might have a small bit of SEO value, but that wouldn't be why I'd be suggesting that people do it. I would be suggesting they do it for the traffic, which I think is actually a pretty good way of benefiting your SEO as well. If you're looking for links that will send traffic, the chances are, if it's sending traffic, it will probably send some SEO value as well.
Okay, well, I hope you find that useful, Troy. And moving on to our final question. This is from Simon Oliver. Simon asks, hi, Kelvin. I was just wondering if you had an answer to this. How do you get a company that kind of believes they need to get on board with a social media campaign and are prepared to allocate some budget but are unwilling to really engage themselves as they are really only half convinced of its value? This sounds quite deep and interesting. We are working for a business in Bangkok where the owners are keen to be seen that they are social media friendly but don't really do anything to support the campaign. It's like, great, we're on board, but you take care of it and don't bother us anymore about it. I believe a social media campaign should be built from within a company involving all parts of the business and not just the marketing company. Thoughts, Simon?
Yeah, it's a common issue. I mean, we work on a lot of social media campaigns at Site Visibility, and kind of one of our prerequisites always is that we've got a good amount of customer and client contact within that to make sure that social media presence really does genuinely reflect the voice, the tone, and the kind of marketing objectives of the company that we represent. Now, what you do get is you do get a split. Some companies are far more hands-on, far more want to be involved. And for those people, often what we're doing is just providing consultancy advice and kind of guidance on how they should be using social media. Others, it's far more involved on our part and they're less involved. But even with those projects where the social media is being managed on a day-to-day basis by, you know, a member of the Site Visibility team, what's really, really, really important is to completely understand their strategic objectives and business goals. So you're always understanding that, and to really kind of understand the company culture, the company tone of voice, how they communicate with people, because until you do that, you're just not going to be able to successfully represent them in a kind of social media environment. So how do we do that? Well, we always kind of try to do sabbaticals, right? So what we do is we will send the person of the team or members of the team who are responsible for that social campaign to embed themselves within that company for a period of time. Now, they're not going to get as good an insight of how that business operates as someone who's been there years, but there's amazing what you can pick up by osmosis and kind of deliberate discussions when you spend 2-3 days, maybe even a week, in someone's office. Now, even if you're kind of carrying on with other work that you're doing for other campaigns in that time, you'll just really get a sense of how that company operates, how they think, that you can then try and reflect. But it is more difficult, it's more challenging, and it requires a lot more empathy from the person who's kind of responsible for that social media campaign. But it can work, right? So we've had social campaigns that are really hands-on where the client's very involved, they've been very successful. They've had ones where they're a bit more hands-off. It's not always perfect, but sometimes it can help because you've got a single person. Because that's kind of the opposite to the situation that Simon might find himself in, where we have been involved in campaigns where there's lots of people involved, and actually then it can be difficult to please everybody all the time and kind of involve all the stakeholders. And the kind of the happy medium is often the best place, where people are involved, they're interested, they're passionate, but at the same time, there's kind of a good sort of hands-off approach to getting stuff done. So not everybody's involved in every aspect of the campaign. But if you're faced with a situation like that where they're kind of going through the motions, you've got to be realistic with yourself that if you don't think you can do a good job, it's tricky for kind of freelancers and small businesses, but sometimes you have to make those decisions. And we've done it plenty of times with campaigns where if you don't think you can do your best work on that campaign and you think that they're ultimately going to be unsatisfied with the result that you're going to get because you can't do the campaign how you would want, you kind of have to reflect that and try and, you know, turn down the work or bring them around to your way of thinking, which is tricky. But ultimately, what you don't want to do is take the money now, run a campaign that you know is going to be unsuccessful, and then ultimately end up in an awkward situation where you're debating invoices or arguing over fees and that type of thing, which can happen very easily.
What about from the other way around, Kelvin? What advice would you give to companies considering outsourcing their social media?
Well, I mean, I think that's, first of all, try and get work with a company who really understand your industry or your business. And you can kind, there's ways you can do that in the pitch process. So get them to, you know, suggest some of the tweets that they would do or suggest some of the campaigns that, you know, that they feel are similar, or to kind of come up with some creative content ideas in that pitching process. Now, what they're not going to be able to do is, based on a couple of minute phone conversation, come up with a social media campaign that entirely reflects your brand or business. But what you want to do is try and see instinctively, do the people within that business kind of understand where you're coming from? And if they can do that, if they can kind of in that pitching process sort of tap into the what's unique about your business and kind of, you know, express that in a way that you could see working well on social media, that's normally a good sign that the campaign will work well. So that's kind of what I would suggest if you are kind of going down that outsourcing route. And also be prepared that you do have to put time in. So some marketing campaigns, some marketing disciplines, you can outsource entirely, give them the brief, and then just sit back and look at the reports. Social media, unfortunately, isn't one of those disciplines. But what we tend to find with our clients is actually most of the times they want to be involved and they're the best people to be involved. And what our job is to facilitate them in helping them do that by providing them the tools that's going to save them time, with giving them advice on the best times to do X, to giving them advice on, you know, stupid stuff like, you know, we've designed hundreds of Facebook pages, so we know exactly what dimensions to use. We know what works and what doesn't work. And that doesn't mean that the person who, you know, the client can't, you know, produce that work. What we allow them to do is save time on the research, save time on finding out or learning by trial and error. So you can kind of point them and steer them in the right direction and kind of help them through that process. And that's where best, it's the same with all, you know, all kind of agency supplier or, you know, the supplier vendor relationships. It's about kind of collaboration, and where that collaboration becomes as seamless and smooth and as instinctive as possible, that's where the best campaigns work, where it doesn't even feel like, you know, it feels like you've all got the same shared objectives. You all know what everyone's responsibilities are, and everyone just gets on with doing great work.
Well, four questions, four stupendous answers from Mr. Kelvin Newman. Thanks, Kelvin.
Thanks very much for the questions, and keep them coming. You know, we love them.
And we'll see you soon, very soon, on the next scintillating episode of Internet Marketing. Goodbye.
Bye. Why do I always do it high pitch? Bye. There we go.
Well, that's it for today. Thank you so much for listening. You can find us on the internet at www.internetmarketingpodcast.org, where you'll find show notes, links, and instructions on how to subscribe. We would absolutely love to get feedback, comments, and questions from you. If you want to send an email, send it to kelvin.newman@sitevisibility.com. Also, feel free to comment on the website. And if you'd like to use our voice line number, if you're outside of the UK, it's +44 1273 256 150. If you're inside the UK, it's 01273 256 150. And you can leave a voice comment or question and we'll play it on the show. Also, we would absolutely be delighted if you would give us a rating on iTunes itself. Well, that's it for now. Andy White is signing off until next week on Internet Marketing.